from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones. God has lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Amen. The rest of that story from Luke chapter 1. So in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home.
We've been singing it for 4 weeks now, Mary's song, that is. But today we heard Mary sing it. "My soul cries out in wonder," she said. "My spirit rejoices in God who is turning the world around. God has remembered God's people, shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. It is good news for those who have ears to hear it. God is making things right for all people." And so Mary sings. And yet, it must have been incredibly isolating for her. It must have been incredibly isolating for her to know God's favor, to have this literally growing sense of God's presence moving and active in her. It must have been a little lonely to be the one who gets it, to understand something so deeply that others around her, not to mention many of us who have come after her, cannot fathom, cannot fully wrap our heads around. It must have been lonely. I think that's at least part of why she goes to see Elizabeth. I know there's that old joke about pregnant women always find each other. And there's some sense in which that's true. We recognize or notice more acutely people who are in similar situations as us. I know that when we were at Disney World, I saw families with twins everywhere. Somehow we see in others the things of our own lives. But this visit to Elizabeth, Mary's trip to see her cousin, I think is something more. It could not have been an easy journey. And she seems to make it alone, because there's nothing in the scripture that says Joseph or anyone else accompanied her. And so it may have also been a bit dangerous, a young girl all alone. But it was important to her, because she got up immediately after the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to bear the Messiah and went to Elizabeth's house. Not because the angel or God told her to do so, but because she was looking for something. She was seeking something. She was needing something. Elizabeth, also pregnant and filled with God's promise, is the only person in the world who is going to get it. She's the only person that is going to understand Mary. And Mary goes because she needs to be seen, to be understood, to be known. She wants to be with someone who gets her. And Elizabeth does not disappoint her. From the moment she sees her, Elizabeth gets it. Remember, no one has told Elizabeth that Mary is pregnant. The angel doesn't tell Elizabeth that Mary's baby is the Messiah. But Elizabeth is so attuned to God's holy work that she offers up this prophetic blessing. She offers up her unconditional love, her understanding to Mary, who has traveled to be with her. Elizabeth gets it. And she gets all of it. She gets the strangeness of the situation. She gets the joy. She gets the expectation. But she gets more than that. She also has experienced and is experiencing the doubt, the second guessing, the discomfort that all come with this holy calling to which both these women have been called. Mary goes to Elizabeth because she needs someone with her in both the beauty and the pain of their calling. They both need the other in order to usher in this new thing that God is doing. I have this picture in my head of these two women spending time together that is so lovely to me. Like they're sitting at a table drinking tea, offering themselves to one another. There are so many fascinating similarities in their differences and differences in their similarities. Mary is young, and Elizabeth is quite a bit older. Mary is at the beginning of her pregnancy, and Elizabeth is approaching the end. Both of the pregnancies are unexpected, but Elizabeth's was met with joy, relief, and celebration, while Mary's will be met with judgment, suspicion, and risk. Elizabeth's pregnancy finally makes her an insider, and Mary's will put her on the outside of many folks' vision of what proper behavior is. Elizabeth comes from good stock, descended from Aaron, and Mary is a no-name from the country. And yet they are drawn to each other. They need each other. They get each other. They understand one another. And in that, they find joy and blessing together. They find support and courage together. They bear the promises of God together. Perhaps the image of these two women, bonded together by their faith, bonded together by their hope, by the growing expectation of God's great work in and among them. Perhaps it is so beautiful and rich for me because it is also an image of the church, of who we are, of who we might be together. The church is one of the few places in society where we still gather joyfully and intentionally with those who are not exactly like us. Like Mary and Elizabeth, the church is made of people who go to each other. The church is a place where we unashamedly offer blessing to one another, where we affirm the promise and potential within each and every single one of us, where we bear each other's burdens and cry out for help, even across our differences. The church is still a place where young and old can discover new truths from each other, and where we can get each other, where we can respond to the Christ in each other, where we can share in our experiences of the divine. The church is still a place where we can dare to wonder and sing and believe that God will indeed make things right for all people, that light will shine in darkness, that peace will come to all, that Christ will be born to us again and again and again and again, and that together, with each other and with God, we might help it be so. And so as we enter these final days of waiting, waiting alongside one another and waiting alongside all of creation, may we remember to be for each other people who get it. May we remember to be people who affirm the beauty and wonder of God's work in each other. People who bless the growing light, the growing potential in another's faith. People who are grateful for one another. People who go to each other. May we continue to make space, as Mary and Elizabeth did, for each other's wonder and awe and amazement, but also for each other's difference and fears and pain. May we make space for one another's hope and proclamations of joy. And may we, together, trust that God is keeping God's promises and the world is about to turn. Amen.